You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show post-game podcast. I'm your host for today, filling in for Drew Mandel, Michael Ramos, with Richard Pollock. We're high above the ice of MTS Center in the press box. The Winnipeg Jets just defeated the New York Rangers by a score of 3-1. Coming off Tuesday night's game, which many have said was the best game that the Jets played all season, the Jets were carrying quite a bit of momentum into this one, and chasing for that playoff spot, they needed to get this win, and a clean win, over their Eastern Conference opponent, the New York Rangers. The game started out pretty, a lot of energy. I thought the True North was extremely loud in terms of how the True North during the anthem go.
Strong and Free wasn't great, but...
Strong and Free was not great. But the first shift for the Jets, they came out with a lot of energy. I think they had the puck in the Rangers' end for about 2 minutes. They were able to cycle both lines. There was a lot of aggressiveness and physical play along the boards, and it resulted in a power play chance.
You're exactly right, Michael. I mean, they started off really strong, and the Jets didn't look amazing tonight, but I thought overall probably the better team. It's a closer game, but probably the better team. The energy level wasn't what it was on Tuesday, but it wasn't bad. There were lulls in the game, and that works to the Rangers' advantage, and they were probably trying to play that way, but even the Rangers, I'm sure there's a bunch of parts of their game that they weren't happy with, and I thought that the Jets deserved the W. If you really think about it, they obviously had the Rangers had a couple of great chances, but there was more so a couple of great chances, nothing sustained for long periods of time, not a lot of chances, but just good chances when they got them.
I thought that the game was definitely very back and forth, and each team had their moments where they had control. I mean, there was a few times where the Rangers had possession for a while in the Jets' end, and then vice versa. And then you'd often see where the Jets would come down with a chance, rebound, Rangers would come back with a chance. There's a lot of back and forth. I wouldn't say that either team was very strong defensively, and if the Rangers would have hit the net a few more times, they might have had a few goals. But I think Andrei Pavlik was the first star of the game, and deservedly so.
Deservedly so. And I totally agree, Michael. The Rangers... chances. You mentioned off the rush. The Rangers' chances were off the rush tonight. And there were some good ones. Nash and Gavrik, especially earlier in the game. The Jets quieted that down. And through the second and third period, I mean, the Rangers really didn't get much in the way of quality scoring opportunities. But Pavlik had really good rebound control. I thought he looked confident. He's been great lately. And tonight was no exception.
First goal for the Winnipeg Jets was on the power play. Michael Delzotto takes a cross-checking penalty, 1:46 into the game. The Jets were able to set up in the Rangers' offensive end. Dustin Byfuglien takes a point shot, which gets through, which I thought he was doing very well tonight, making sure his point shots were getting on net, which he always does. Nick Antropov, who had another good game, his second good game in a row, takes the rebound in front and uses his big body to get good position and puts it past Lundqvist.
Yeah, it's a simple hockey play, done well. Antropov had another good game. Important, think about it. We talked about him on Saturday. He's been invisible. Well, the past two games he hasn't. Look how key it is to the Jets. When their top line's not going, they get offense from other places. And Antropov playing a little bit more physical, a little bit more engaged. Didn't play as well as he did on Tuesday, but he had a great game on Tuesday. He played a solid game today. Goes to the net, gets the rebound, early lead. And, Byfuglien again. I mean, Byfuglien's a point machine. He just gets up. People don't talk about one thing about Byfuglien. He gets the puck through. So many defense, especially against the Rangers, a team that blocks a ton of shots. He got two of his assists. What are they both on? Shots from the point, getting the puck on net, doesn't get blocked. Just tremendous poise, tremendous vision. Nothing not to like about Byfuglien. And Antropov's been playing great.
I just thought Antropov had a pretty good game playing with Wellwood and Wright, and even Kyle Wellwood has picked his game up the past few playing offensively. Yeah, he might not shoot as much as you'd like, but that's what you're going to get from Kyle Wellwood. Now, the next play in the first period was Marian Gaborik, 11:17 in. He is sprung on a bit of a breakaway. Mark Stewart gives him a little stick tap. It was arguable whether or not it was a penalty shot.
I think the question wasn't so much if there was a penalty. The question was whether it was worthy of a penalty shot.
Right.
Because the issue there was, does he really inhibit his opportunity to have a breakaway chance, a really quality breakaway chance? I mean, that's the way it's generally viewed. And I thought he actually got a pretty good power play breakaway chance, out of it. So I was kind of the opinion he got a quality chance, given the penalty 2 minutes. The Rangers' power play hasn't been that great, although it is dangerous. But they gave him the penalty shot, and which is a higher percentage of scoring than the power play. And Pavlik made a nice save. Interesting to me, Michael, on the breakaway. penalty shot. Excuse me. The ice wasn't great, especially before that, and a couple people up here commented on that, and I was surprised to see Gabrick, who is primarily a shooter, decide to deke, not only because he shoots more than he dekes, but because the ice wasn't great. And so, and you look what happened, and they kind of lost the puck, and he lost his momentum, and he kind of came in and slowed down, and then he lost the puck, so he really didn't have anywhere to go, and it was a good job by Pavlik to not give him any room.
The one thing about that is, on the penalty shots, I really don't like when players go in and they're moving really slow. I think it really lowers your percentage. I mean, some the really good players, you know, like maybe Gabrick or Patrick Kane can right. do that, but personally, I don't think it's effective.
Yeah, you have to have tremendous hands. I mean, Brad Richards, on the other hand, goes in really fast, so it just depends on your preference.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily mind when they come in at top speed and then slow down and then try to make a move when the goalie is going backwards, but Gabrick didn't come in at crazy speed and then just slowed down too much. I would agree with that.
We talked about the ice. There was a Bob Seger concert here last night. You have to wonder how much these events that are constantly at MTS Center affect how the ice is.
Yeah, you know, every arena, Madison Square Garden, is well known for the fact that their ice is awful because they have so many events there. And I mean, you know, Bob Seger, 13,000 people for Bob Seger. 9,000?
Was it? I didn't see.
It's a lot.
It's a lot for, I guess he hasn't been here in a few years.
He's like 80.
Is he really?
Pretty old.
Holy.
Not actually 80. He's like early 60s, I think.
Okay, well, that's
like a rock.
Like a rock. All right, so the first period, we forgot to mention the fight between Mark Stewart and Michael Haley.
I wonder if yeah, that fight, and that happened in the right corner, if we're looking left to right. I was wondering if the Jets wouldn't have loved that, because I thought actually after that fight, the momentum was lost from the Jets because they were up. And Stewart engaged. I thought the Rangers got a little bit off that, and the crowd didn't. You know, the crowd didn't seem to really engage after that fight. So, I wonder if in the room after, Noel says maybe pass on that fight next time.
Michael Haley's. I mean, what, Mark Stewart doesn't need to fight Michael Haley.
Who's Michael Haley?
Mark, but he was going at it with Brian Boyle all game, who is much bigger than him. So I'll give it, you got to give Mark Stewart props. They're consistently one of the tougher guys on the Winnipeg Jets. Going in the second period started out, the Jets did not look like the Jets of the first period. They were playing kind of flat. They weren't moving. They got caught on their own end. Dustin Byfuglien tried to clear the puck, and it was unsuccessful. It got picked off. Puck gets back to the point with a Derek Stepan shot. Ryan Callahan's in front and tips it past Pavlik, tying the game at 1-1.
Callahan, I thought he was pretty good tonight. But yeah, you know, he goes right in there, Remus, on that play. He's right where he's supposed to be. Nice hands. You know, a guy like that is amazing because he goes to the net. He's not just a presence, but with his body position and with his angling, but also with his tipping ability, and he just made the right play there. And nothing not to like about him. We've talked about him a lot on the show, just about how a great leader he is. And that's one thing, you know, we were talking, but I thought the Jets did an amazing job of keeping the rush to the outside. And we mentioned that earlier in the podcast, but that was a goal from the inside. And if it was going to be anybody getting in the inside, who was it? Ryan Callahan.
Then later on in the second period, Nick Antropov takes an interference penalty, going into the corner for a puck, knocking over, I forget who it was, to get there. The crowd booed. I thought it was an interference penalty. He kind of pushed the guy out of the way, on his way to the puck. You can't do that. And New York followed up on the ensuing faceoff in the Jets' defensive end, New York's offensive end. Derek Stepan takes a hooking penalty, pretty much doing the exact same play that Antropov did, and making a 4-on-4. And there was some very entertaining hockey during that 4-on-4.
There was. I think the Jets like 4-on-4. Byfuglien loves 4-on-4. On that penalty, you know, Stepan kind of got his stick caught up there, and you could argue that the stick was pulled in by the Jets player. Yeah, I thought it was a little bit iffy, but I agree with you that it's kind of an offset, and what can you do? But let's talk about, I think more importantly, the Rangers' inability to create power plays. I mean, obviously they had the penalty shot, and then that power play for like 4 seconds. But aside from that, no power plays. How many power plays did they get last game? One against Buffalo. I know their power play isn't great, but you have to be able to create chances. Not only, remember this, and people sometimes forget this, not only when you're on the power play is it maybe 2 minutes, and maybe it's not effective, but it's 2 minutes where the other team can't score. Maybe it's 4 minutes where the other team can't score. Maybe it's 8 minutes. And if you're not scoring, you know, that's not good for your offense, but it's 8 minutes where it's difficult to get opportunities on the other side. And so the Rangers are going to have a hard time with that if they continue to not be able to draw penalties. And I think part of that is staying to the outside. and the Jets deserve credit, but also the Rangers need to crash the net a little more. They need to hit bodies. They need to do different things that will, you know, create penalty situations and penalty-causing situations. When you stay on the outside and basically get all your opportunities in transition, when are you creating? And if you're sustaining and sustaining to the outside, well, why does a player need to take a penalty? He doesn't, because he's keeping you to exactly where he wants you to be.
Yeah, back to the 4-on-4. I thought, as you said, Buffum loves 4-on-4. He looked great. There's a lot more room for him to work. He uses his vision, his skating, his body position. The Jets had a number of chances there. Kane had a 2-on-1 with Wheeler. And now at this point, if you're on a 2-on-1 with Evander Kane and you're with him, are you even going to put your stick down on the ice? Because you know that he's going to be shooting.
Yeah, he's got tunnel vision. He's not making that pass. We all know that. Come on.
So, and then there's actually a great chance with Bufflin. I think he had a shot. He was basically a 2-on-0 with Brian Little. The rebound was sitting right there, but they couldn't come up with it.
Yeah, a couple times there was flybys by the Jets. Jokinen did it.
I think there was maybe Ladd had one.
Bogosian did it too.
Yeah.
You don't want to blame defensemen because they're not used to it. But when you're going in on a rush, don't fly by the net. Just stop in front of the net. And a couple times tonight, had they stopped, they would have scored.
Last 10 minutes of the second period, I thought the Jets really did not play great in their own end at all. They were getting kind of running around. Not even running around. They weren't really skating. They weren't being as aggressive, and they weren't forechecking. And Pavlik ended up bailing them out a few times. But with about 5 minutes left in the game, Dustin Byfuglien takes a point shot, hits Anning Biatin in front. He got in good position.
5 minutes left in the second period.
Yeah, in the second.
Yeah.
And the puck ends up going in off Anning Biatin, so 2-1 Jets.
Again, Byfuglien gets the puck through. Biatin is in the right place. Like, Jets been getting some bounces lately, and those go all both ways throughout the year. I think it was Andropov last game, but you know, Miettinen gets the puck, hits him, and hey, you'll take it, especially for Miettinen, who's been snake-bitten injury-wise, goal-scoring-wise, really over the past year and a half. So good for him to get off the schneid. And again, you know, you're getting contribution from players who you don't necessarily expect contribution from. What that does is it alleviates pressure off of the top players. You know, Kane didn't score tonight. Ladd scored, but it was an empty netter. Wheeler didn't get anything. Little didn't get anything. You still won. It's important.
Third period, fairly uneventful in terms of goal scoring.
That's what you want for the Jets, though. You're up 2-1, and you want to come in and protect the lead at home.
There's one great chance the Jets had. Brian Little passed it to Ladd, who one times it off the crossbar.
Great chance, yep.
But the Jets fans were into it. They were chanting for Tortorella. They were chanting for Lundqvist. There's a lot of loud "Go Jets, go!" And that's what you want at home when you're up 2-1.
Fans were engaged. The Jets were protecting the lead. I thought they did a pretty good job of protecting the lead overall. The Rangers were trying to create some offense from the back end, and they had some chances, but the Jets played a good team defense tonight, and they should be commended for that.
Looking at the scoring sheet, Andrew Ladd puts the game away with about 40 seconds remaining. The Rangers had some pressure.
It was a poor play, Mike. I'm going to interject for a second. A poor play by Rick Nash. Tried to do the extra play, and Rick Nash is so talented, but he's got to scale it back a tad in trying to do too much. You have talent around you now. And that's something he has to get accustomed to. But he has talent around him, and he's trying to make that play at the end of the game. He's trying to be too fancy. Put the puck to the defenseman and get the puck on net, and the rest of it will take care of itself. I did find it odd, actually, that Girardi was on the ice at the end of the game, not McDonough. I didn't understand that, but I wasn't sure if McDonough had played the shift before, but you know, Tortorella wasn't shy about riding his horses tonight, and that was a little bit surprising to me because Girardi's limited offensively. I thought he didn't have a great game either.
Looking at ice time, Michael Delzato led the entire game and the Rangers with 27:41. Dan Girardi was next with 25:09. On the Jets side, you got Byfuglien 22:22, Bogosian 22:03, Klitsam 23:09, and Hainsey 23:42.
I thought they all played a pretty good game. But Klitsam made some nice plays, and Hainsey made a couple nice plays. Byfuglien obviously is leading the way. And you know, Bogosian didn't have his best game. But nothing crazy, nothing that poor. But yeah, I mean, Jets are looking solid right now. Hey, one goal on the gates, Michael, right? One goal against, and wasn't that many crazy chances after they calmed down at the beginning.
James Wright played 15-17. Now, the guy hasn't been on the score sheet much for the Jets since he's been here, but you can't say that he's not an effective player. He's got a big body. He has the puck in the offensive end. Guys try to hit him, and they knock down. You'd like to think that goals are going to come for him or points are going to come for him soon.
You hope so. He's creating chances, and that's the key, right? His chances. Well, that's half the battle. The other half's actually scoring on them. He had a couple great chances at the end of last game. Yeah, probably more suited to a fourth-line role than a third-line role. But, you know, playing well, you mentioned, he's doing other little things. He's defending well. He's in the right position. He's a bigger body. He can skate for a guy with a bigger body. So, yeah, you know what? That's a nice waiver pickup. I mean, I guess we've talked about it on the show before. Just have a lot of waiver pickups, so he's contributed nicely.
In terms of forwards, Evander Kane led all of them 22-23 ice time, yep. Also led the team in shots with 5. And he had that breakaway on Lundqvist in the end of the third period that could have put the game away, and he did essentially the same move he went for against Reimer, top right-hand glove. Now, is he getting too predictable this, or are we seeing some deeks from him soon?
No, I don't even mind him trying that chance. He usually scores on it. Lundqvist played it really well. I think if Kane had his way, he would have put it a little bit higher.
Yeah.
But Lundqvist, who's generally a goalie who plays back in his net, was up pretty aggressive on that play. So I think that's a play you got to give Lundqvist. And I thought Lundqvist was great tonight, Michael. You got to give Lundqvist credit for it, because if you look at the play, you say, okay, Lundqvist is probably reading a scouting report knowing Kane will shoot. But that's where he excels. So he knows he's going to shoot. And so he comes out and doesn't play back as he usually does. And I thought he was a nice reactionary save with his glove. Nothing you can do. You know what? Tip your hat to a heck of a goaltender. And I don't have an issue with that move again.
So the Jets win 3-1 against the Rangers, going into Toronto, who just lost against Pittsburgh. And they have to ride this momentum into Ontario. They got back-to-back Saturday, yep. Sunday. And if they do this, they'll be in great position in the Eastern Conference.
It really shouldn't take much to get up for a Hockey Night in Canada primetime game in Toronto, national game. I'm not sure what the Habs play, but if the Habs aren't playing Canadian team, that'll be the national game. And the Jets don't get to play many national Hockey Night in Canada games. I mean, they're going to get to play 2 in this next coming week, because they play Saturday in Toronto, and then I believe Friday's game here against Washington is a Hockey Night in Canada national game. But it's different playing on a Friday than playing on a Saturday, so I bet the Jets will be pretty jacked up. But as you mentioned, Michael, 4-game losing streak for the Leafs now. A desperate team. And hey, those teams, I assume those two teams, I'm not sure about the standings, I'm pretty sure they're three points apart. And the Leafs and the Jets, 1 point apart, the Leafs and the Jets. David Manuk, of course, of LegalCurve.com, is telling us 1 point apart. That's a massive game. You want to hop over them, and you can leave that, you know, you can leave the Leafs behind, because they have some holes there. And it's cliche, but every game is important. You're playing intra-conference all year, and should be awesome. Should be a great weekend of hockey to play. Ottawa, obviously, on Sunday, back-to-back, but it's not much travel. So let's see what they can put together.
Well, that's it for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show post-game podcast. Tune in to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We'll be on at our regular time, Saturday from noon to 3 on TSN 1290. For Richard Pollock, I'm Michael Remus. Good night and good luck.